O Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know what that reading we had today does for you, but that first part of that reading has got to be one of those chilling statements of all scripture, where Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven." And then for those who did what looks like the works of God, he says, "I didn't know you." And you think, so what do you got to do? Of course, Jesus answers that question, doesn't he? He answers it by saying, those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. There's something deeply, profoundly genuine that God is looking for, and it lies in our response and our choice to the obedience of God. And if that has been our direction, and if we have chosen to follow Jesus and to orientate our lives around him and to pursue the heart of God, you know, it's interesting. Kay was telling me something around there, like wives tell you, and the whole reason for Jesus is to show us the Father's heart. It's to show us the Father's heart. Now, the problem is we get this picture of the Old Testament, and we fail often to grasp the heart of God in it, because we see in our politically correct and on one side, and incredibly corrupt on another side, and totally confused on another side. We see all the bad stuff and all the terrible stuff and all the negative stuff that the Old Testament comes up. We fail to see underneath all that was the pumping of a Father God who longed above all else that we would hang out with him. And yet people choose not to. And there's a consequence to choosing not to. Now, the language of consequence, I think, is peculiarly Christian. Because the world doesn't kind of want to think about consequence, because it just wants to create another law to make up because somebody's stuffed up somewhere. So we're trying to build this new morality. And the only way to build this new morality is to pass another law. Because the simplicity of what God laid down is no longer acceptable. It fascinates me as I watch this incredible grappling going on. And in the midst of all this, and the church seriously has not done a very good job of making that known. You know, the church history, of which I've been a study of as well as ordinary history, is bad news. I'm not surprised that people throw their hands up and say, well, if that's what it means to be a Christian, I'd walk away. I think I would too. But for one thing, and that is the heart of God, which is so much deeper and so much more profound. And then you get Jesus at the end of that, says he goes on and talks about, you know, the wise and the foolish, a person who builds a house on rock and then on sand. And it all makes absolute sense. So what is the rock? Well, the rock is the Father's heart. And his extraordinary wanting for you to know life beyond life, certainty beyond certainty, and security beyond security. That's the rock. It's not some profound doctrine. We could do that, then we've got something to argue about. Because we like to argue doctrine, because then we can avoid the relationship. But what it's about is the Father's heart. And so today we have this amazing subject of the gift of wisdom. And I don't know why I said all that I said there, but I thought it just needed to be said. So I hear some things to think about. To be old and wise, you have to be first young and stupid. Of course, none of us would ever admit to having been stupid, but we all have relished our youth. That's probably what other people thought. But never mind. Someone said, and I am endlessly fascinated, that playing football is considered the training ground for leadership, but raising kids isn't. Interesting. Where is parenting? The person who said that is named by D.D. Myers. Now, listen to this. Granddad says, "Well, young Thomas, as we travel life's journey, each of us loses our youth in exchange for wisdom. Unfortunately, for some, the exchange rate has been rather dismal." Now, the cartoon associated with that was standing in front of Parliament buildings. Yes, wisdom. That elusive quality that you are never sure you have found until you have made a mistake. The truth is, we live our lives in one of two ways, wisely or unwisely. David writes, "The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." Have you ever wondered, what is God up to in my life? Why are there so many heartaches and difficulties? Couldn't God step in and change my circumstances? God can change anything that affects our lives, can't he? However, a change of circumstances may not be what is needed. What is needed is wisdom, godly wisdom, along with a commitment to stay on track when things are difficult. God has never promised us, you know, sunshine and sweetness. You look through Scripture, you'll see that there is a struggle in life, which is simply a product, in my view, of the fall. I don't know what it would have been like before the fall, so I can only think about what's since the fall. And we're all victims of that fact and perpetrators in one way or another. So what we need is wisdom in the midst of what we find ourselves in. Far too many people give up when the going gets tough and seek an easier, faster way through the tough stuff. Mark Twain said, "Never put off till tomorrow what may be done the day after tomorrow just as well." When trouble comes, God is right there for those who seek him and his wisdom. Now please understand this. Wisdom isn't needed only when things are going wrong or tough. It's needed just as much when things are going well. Charles Stanley says, "I've talked with people who are struggling in the aftermath of a poor decision. Many with pleading eyes have asked, what can I do to change all of this?" I had a young woman saying exactly that earlier this year. What can I do? How do I begin again after I've fallen into whatever? Is there any hope for my life? The answer is yes. There's always hope when God is involved. The way we begin again is through prayer and seeking God's mind and heart. This is where we can be the most vulnerable and open to God. Prayer also provides the right opportunity for us to gain God's wisdom. There will be times when we make mistakes and wisdom can be gained by them, especially when we ask God to get involved. David, the shepherd, warrior, king and songwriter's life is edged with a deep love and affection for God. He meditated on God's love and did not hesitate to seek God's wisdom. While it seems that David spent many of his younger years running from a jealous king, we also know that God used this time to prepare him to rule the nation of Israel. Patience and faith become synonymous with his life. So at times we may wonder, Lord, why do I have to face such heartache? The answer may not be immediate, but he is there. Whether we feel it or not, he provides the wisdom we need even when grief and fear seem to take us out. Clearly, faith is crucial to gaining the wisdom of God, and it doesn't matter how big that faith is. Jesus said, if we have a tiny faith, as tiny as a mustard seed, it is enough. James writes, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. At one point, David could have taken Saul's life. He faced a serious decision. But because he had taken the necessary time to know God and to meditate on who God is, he knew the right choice to make. He refused to harm Saul, who was God's anointed. Even though Saul deserved the opposite, David allowed him to live, and God abundantly blessed David's life because he had acted with wisdom and sought the highest good as God would have it. Now, David's life was not free of mistakes. I mean, there's Bathsheba and all those things that went on. And whenever he failed to exercise wisdom, he suffered grievous consequences. However, the overview of David's life was one in which wisdom was gained. So how do we gain wisdom? We gain wisdom when we seek God. If David came to a point where he did not know what to do, he would, we read, inquire of the Lord. This is where faith enters. We must believe, as James tells us, that if we go to God with even the smallest detail, he will hear our prayer. We gain wisdom when we learn to meditate on God's word. It's not just enough to read it. It needs to become part of us. And for it to become part of us, we need to consider it and meditate on it, muse on it, chew on it. If we really want to receive a blessing, draw near to God and then seek his heart, his mind and his guidance, and taking time to read the Bible is a great place to discover this. What did the psalmist write? Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. We gain wisdom when we learn to obey the principles of Scripture. Before David could rule as king, he had to learn to obey God. He also had to learn to follow the pathway God placed before him. This meant that he had to surrender his human desires to God. David's obedience spoke volumes of his love for God. We gain wisdom as a result of prayer. In prayer, we learn to humble our hearts before God. In prayer, we're saying essentially, God, I can't do this. I need you. It is an act of submission to his sovereign will when we come to him in prayer. And we also need to learn to be quiet, to listen for his voice. Remember what I said, the heart of God is that we hang out with him, that we spend time with him, that we enjoy him. Far too often we spend time in prayer talking instead of listening to the small, still voice of God our Father. As we read and pray and listen to his voice, he will bring understanding and clarity that will help us deal with our situation. So we're journaling is good. If I really am in a fix, because I'm really a useless journaler, but when I'm in a fix, I get the book out and I start writing, and God starts pouring it out sometimes, and it just downloads. We gain wisdom by observing how God works in our world. At times the workings of the world may seem out of control, however God is sovereign and he is in control. Though our lives may be touched by death, sin, sorrow or tragedy, God is still Lord over all, and he will bring purpose out of each event. He does not abandon us, even though it might feel like that. We gain wisdom through wise counsel. Talk it over, what's going on for you, with a trusted Christian friend. Once they have given you their view, take this to God in prayer. If what they have said is from God, it will not violate any principle of Scripture. I think one of the things I observe in people is what I see. I've been in situations where about, you know, reviews are done. A business review is done of something. And an interim report is presented. And I've seen so many backs go up because of an interim report. Because they think that is what it's going to be. No, it's actually still part of the process of gathering the information. And yet there is this kind of naive thing, if an interim report is done, that's the final word. It's never the final word. It's part of the process. And so it is when we go to someone, we gather information, we hear what they've got to say, it is part of the process. Yet I hear people say to me, well, I'm not taking that advice. That's no good. Or they'll say, well, I've got to do that because they said so. Where is personal responsibility in this? If there's anything I know about God, he raises you up to act responsibly, not to sell yourself out to someone else's idea or opinion. That's why I like the Bereans, who after Paul had spoken, had gone and searched the scriptures, and from time to time I said to you, don't do me the disservice of believing what I've said simply because I've said it. Go and search it out for yourself so that you know and take responsibility for what it is that you are deciding over and what you're hearing and what you're making your own. We gain wisdom when we associate with wise people. Most people know when they've received wisdom. However, we still need to be discerning. Make sure that what has been said matches the wisdom of God found in the Bible. You can avoid disappointment and discouragement when you ask God to separate truth from error. We seek wisdom in order to please God, to gain his perspective and to live a fulfilled life. So in summary, we need to determine to walk wisely. It's our choice. Our motivation for wisdom must begin and end with the love for God. We want to please him. We want to respond to his generosity and grace. Therefore, we seek him. And when we learn wisdom's way, we will find that we're being changed into the likeness of Jesus. As I've said, meditate on God's word. David tells us to hide God's word in our heart. Corrie ten Boom learned the value of this during World War II. She smuggled a few pages of the Bible into her concentration camp prison cell. Later she wrote, "Never before had I prayed as now. And I spoke to one who understood, who knew me and loved me. On him I lay all my burdens." And be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. When the prophet Elijah lost his perspective, God spoke to him, not through drama of an earthquake or a storm, but in a still, small voice. When we're still in our thoughts and emotions, God will speak to us in the way he did with Elijah. He commands us to be still and know that I am God. We need to determine to know that God is the source of wisdom. Faith and trust are necessary in gaining the wisdom of God. Human reasoning will fail. Only the wisdom of God will guide us safely. And we need to determine to have the courage to obey God. This reveals our true desire for wisdom. It is the way of blessing. Therefore, we determine to be courageous and go forward trusting. And we need to determine to stay the course. When we have considered all that has been said today, and when we have taken to a place where perhaps we own it, we can then say, I know that I am doing the right thing. Therefore, I'm going to stick with it. We're learning perseverance. The result will be our growth in the wisdom of God, who's just an amazing Father who wants you to be with him. Father God, we thank you for the gift of wisdom. We pray that you would seal that in our lives. That, Lord, we would hunger for that. We would hunger for you. We'd continue to keep choosing you above all else and attending to your will and direction, that we would be found obedient to it. So, Lord, grow us in the way of wisdom, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.